Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. A Fairbanks man is charged with fatally stabbing another man on the city's east side last night. FPD reports that 26-year-old Sheldon Wolf stabbed 40-year-old Armagon Idol in the neck during a fight in a parking lot near the intersection of the Old Steese Highway and College Road. Police spokeswoman Yumi McCullough says Wolf, who is charged with second-degree murder, told police Idol started the fight.
Wolf stated to police that he and his friend were walking north on Old Steese Highway and were confronted by Idol. Idol yelled at Wolf's friend, then struck him in the back of the head with some type of cylindrical weapon. Wolf got between the two, and Idol struck Wolf on the left side of his face. Wolf produced a butterfly-style knife and stabbed Idol somewhere in the left shoulder.
McCullough says police followed Wolf's footprints from where Idol's body was found to an apartment building where they took him into custody.
The fresh snow really helped out, and so they were able to track those footprints.
McCullough says Wolf told the police he threw the knife used in the stabbing in the Tanana River before officers located him at the apartment. It's the 8th murder in the city so far this year, topping the 7 homicides which occurred in Fairbanks last year. Other peak years include 2012, when there were 5 murders, and 2014, when there were 4. After months of hinting that a new climate change policy was in the works, Governor Bill Walker Tuesday signed an administrative order setting out a new state climate strategy and creating a task force to recommend specific actions. Rachel Waldholtz from Alaska's Energy Desk reports.
The order basically creates a new commission to make policy recommendations to the governor. The 15-person Alaska Climate Action Leadership Team will be chaired by Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott and will propose a climate change plan by September 2018. Walker said that as a state on the front lines of climate change that's also dependent on oil development, Alaska has to strike a balance.
We will continue to responsibly develop our resources, our non-renewable resources, and use that is the somewhat the bridge funding to be able to do what we need to do as a result of the impacts of climate change on Alaska. So they're not incompatible in any way. In fact, one is necessary for the other.
For instance, Walker said to cover the cost of relocating villages or to invest in renewable energy. Cutting back on oil exploration, he said, is not in the cards. Mallott went further, suggesting it is time for the state to start looking beyond oil.
A significant aspect of Alaska's involvement will necessarily revolve around a transition from a petroleum-based economy to a renewable energy economy.
Polly Carr heads up the Alaska Center in Anchorage. She says she's pleased the Walker administration is recognizing the need to address climate change, but
what Alaskans do not need and what Alaskans have said that they don't want more of is more talk.
Carr points out that Alaska has already done this. It was almost exactly 10 years ago that former Governor Sarah Palin issued her own administrative order, establishing her own climate strategy and creating her own task force, the Climate Change Subcabinet. That group worked for more than 2 years and came up with a slew of recommendations, many of which, Carr says, have been sitting on the shelf ever since. She says it's important that this time around, recommendations are followed by action.
The more quickly that this announcement can move to action and policy, the better off all of us are going to be.
As for the oil and gas industry,
I think there's a lot of folks who think we're going to be the enemy here. And we don't see our role as that at all.
That's Kara Moriarty, head of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Moriarty says her group is ready to work with the administration on climate issues. But she says when Alaska represents just a fraction of global carbon emissions, it's important to weigh emissions cuts against the impact to the economy.
You could turn off every oil spigot, every natural gas pump, turn off every light, shut down every car, and I'm not sure that's going to have even make a dent in the overall, you know, global emission picture when you think of it in that context.
Moriarty says her members would oppose any efforts to reduce oil development, but when it comes to adaptation or research, the industry believes it has a role to play. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Anchorage.
One person was killed in a hotel fire in Nome Tuesday. KNOM reports that the city has not released the identity of the victim killed in the fire, which damaged Nome's Polaris Hotel. The hotel fire was brought under control last night, about 15 hours after it broke out in a liquor store on the hotel's first floor early Tuesday. The City of Nome Fire Department reports being on the scene in about 5 minutes. Nome Assistant Fire Chief Kevin Knowlton says the building was compromised, but no adjacent structures were harmed. According to a press release from the City of Nome, the origin of the fire is still unknown. The State Fire Marshal's office has been called in and is expected to be on the scene today to investigate. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUEC.org. I'm Erin Granger.